welcome to the Penny Mortos. I'm Christopher Brown.
I'm Paul.
I'm Auriel.
And we're back for part two of John George Hay, the acid bath.
A is for acid.
Murderer.
Acid vampire.
Back in October.
Acid vampire. Yeah, so I think we left it that John had murdered his pal, basically, the person who'd looked after him and given him a job in the past.
Yes.
Murdered him.
Mr. McSwan.
Yeah, melted him, tipped him down the drain, and then...
Lumps and all.
Lumps and all.
Told his mum and dad he'd gone to Scotland to avoid conscription, and then got himself a job as being the rent collector.
Yes.
For the family business.
Taking up the man, filled his shoes.
Exactly, filled his shoes.
Filled the shoes of the man that he killed.
Yeah. So no remorse.
Well,
there,
this is his plan's coming together now, isn't it?
Yeah.
This was the plan that he concocted while inside, finding some rich family and knocking them off.
It's all about the money.
It's all about the dum 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 dum.
His friend.
Lyrical genius.
Who did that song? I can't remember.
I don't know.
It kind of sticks
in my
head.
Don't give up your day job, yeah. Chris. Don't give up your day job.
He's a lead singer of a professional rock band.
Dum dum da da dum dum.
So yeah.
So a quick recap.
Well, we've just done that.
he brought up in a strict religious family.
Oh yeah. Oh, you were
10-foot fence.
Yeah. Basically, he's had a shit life.
Puppy parties.
Mainly because. The only way you can please God is by having a shit life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what it was for him, wasn't it? Confined to the behind a big 10-foot wall.
So he's busted out of there now. He's living the high life. He's down in the capital. He's swanning about on his ill-gotten gains. Done a bit of time in the nick. Gangster. And he's just melted a human being.
Which life's is nice. Good. Yeah. Life is good for Mr. Don't,
life's good don't because knock he's in the try money. It. He's in the money.
Not yet, he's not. He's not quite
oh,
in the money.
Oh, is he not? He's getting
there. But he's... His foot's on the first rung of the ladder to fortune and fast cars.
Fortune,
loose
fast
women.
Cars.
No loose women. He's loyal.
Oh, yeah, he's terribly loyal.
He's loyal to his wife.
Loyal to Babs.
What's his wife called? Babs?
Babs, Barbara, whatever you think's best.
Yeah, his second woman. And he met her in the halfway house, didn't he? When he,
yes, he did.
Just after
his
prison.
First exit from prison.
The cornerstone of
so we left it, like you said, he just got rid of William McSwan, and now he was ready to put the second phase of his plan into action.
Now, the thing I quite like about this for John is that we've seen from his mice work that he's a bit of an experimenter. You know, he likes to...
Does the groundwork.
He's not satisfied unless things are working well and he's got a plan in place. And after he's melted McSwanny, he realises that it's not a very efficient process.
Did he get it right first time?
He got it right, but...
The quantities.
Like the acid was eating through the oil drum and it took a long time. So he makes a few...
Trial and error.
He makes a few upgrades to his killing system. So to dissolve the bodies now, he gets a bathtub that's made out of steel... And then he paints it with enamel paint, so it will resist.
So he's doing his research.
Yeah, yeah, so you know, rather than it's just going to melt through, because there's a risk that the acid could melt through the metal before it melts the body.
Right, and then you just come back to
a pile
puddle of...
Well, then it's
puddle of person.
His corpus delicti go tits up then, wouldn't
it? Exactly. So he upgrades his bath.
And he won't want mop up, because we all know about his work ethic.
He's it's non-existent. And then he makes some DIY tin face masks. Now, I'm not really sure.
He went all Blue Peter on it, didn't he?
What benefit there is to
Tracy
that.
Island.
And he gets a stirrup pump to pump oxygen around. Again, not being an expert in acid bath murdering, I'm not sure what a stirrup pump...
Is pump for good measure.
Would... would do, but it must speed things up. Let's just say that.
Wait, I don't understand the workings of a stirrup pump.
It's just a pump that you pump with your foot, so it's a pumper. Maybe it's to pump. Oh no, maybe it's because he got overcome.
Yeah, he was overwhelmed, wasn't he, by like the dead body smell?
Yeah.
So obviously,
the acid smell burning.
So a little light bulb above his head.
Again.
Yeah.
Bing. I'll get myself a stirrup pump.
So he's upgraded now. He's ready to kill two. But who?
Who indeed? Well, he's got rid of McSwanee, his previous employer. So, well, his full intention is to get everything that the family.
Well, that's it, because young William is like the heir.
They're about the same age, aren't they? And he's seeing him with these flashing the cash. He's got the car.
But he's not got the real money.
And he wants what he wants, and he literally wants what he wants, and he's going to get it.
Yeah, so he knows the real money is with Mr. and Mrs. McSwan, the mum and dad of poor William.
So next phase of the operation.
He's got to get rid of mum and dad, get stuck into their hard cash.
Yes.
Bearing in mind that he got to know them quite well, didn't he? After the little encounter with the goat. The goat pub. So he's playing his cards right.
Yeah. He's thingy.
He gets in with them. He's not got any feelings,
so has he? He gets like some serial killers just meet people and kill them, you know. But he's really more of a con man, isn't he? He's driven to get the money, so he gets a good relationship with people and then kills them, which you might think was a bit of a harder thing to do because you build up a rapport. But maybe that's the serial killer tendency.
And there's been a build up in his conning, though, isn't there? Because he started with his cars that didn't exist and then his stocks. Now he's just making people not exist.
Yeah.
And taking everything they've got.
He's upgraded.
Yeah. Whatever next.
So what he has to do is he has to think of a cunning plan to lure the McSwan seniors into his dastardly obscene workshop of death.
Dastardly obscene. We need a soundtrack.
So what he has to do is he has to think of a cunning plan to lure the McSwan seniors into his dastardly obscene workshop of death. And, you know, I mean, there's not much really that could entice a sort of late, middle-aged, you know, well-respected couple into a grubby backstreet underground
lair.
Let's go downstairs, have a good time.
Yeah.
That's never been said, has it, really?
No.
Come in the cellar. Come down cellar.
Oh, it's lovely and warm.
Yeah. Well, you see, he's got the one thing that they want.
Hey, it will be lovely and warm when they're getting melted.
Nice hot bath.
Just what you need after a long day at work.
Yeah.
Something I can't relate to.
So he's got the one thing, and this is where he's a clever bastard, because he's got the one thing they want, and that's access to their son.
Because this time they think that the son's ran off because he don't want to be joining the army.
Yeah, so they think he's up in
Scotland. Even though he'd have a gun.
Yeah.
So John arranges a meet. And he says, it's got to be top secret, this. We can't be, you know, it can't be in no high society hotel.
It's all cloak and dagger.
Nice meet and greet.
So what you've got to do is you've got to come to this very dark, creepy, dirty, seedy, horrible place. But I'll have your son safely ensconced within that building.
Which is
kind of true.
Yeah. The remainings of.
Because there were a few bits of him still floating around.
So he gets. He doesn't take them both at the same time, does he? He must persuade them that they need to come one at a time. For whatever reason that, you know, they don't want to be seen both going there
we'll
together.
Sneak you in once and then so we'll sneak you
who
in.
Who does he
second.
Take first? I think he takes their dad first, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Took Donald down first, Donald McSwan. So he convinced him to come down first.
Yeah. Well, and he's saying, come and meet your son.
Yeah. And then Amy will follow you after.
Yeah.
So took Donald down to the cellar.
As you do.
Where the bloody hell's William? Where's our Willie? Where's our Willie? Poof! Iron Bart at back at third song.
Back of the head, bang.
Drop like
down.
A sack of shit.
We only pick Scottish themed killers. Just for Chris.
He leaves the body then, doesn't he? He doesn't get it in the bath straight away.
No.
I think as soon as he's hit her, bloody brain matter splattered all over the wall.
Yeah.
Straight out. Maybe a quick wipe of the hand.
Yeah.
Straight out in his car. When picking Amy up.
Yeah, goes and gets mum.
Brings her down again. Yeah. Now, there's a thing whether she actually saw the body of Donald as she was coming down the stairs.
The horror.
Yeah. And then whether there was that moment of realisation of what's going on, or maybe he covered the body or whatever, but again, she came to the same fate.
Yeah.
To be honest, the body, seeing the body wouldn't make me realise. I think the lingering smell of burning flesh and going down to a really dark cellar, alarm bells would be ringing well and truly.
Yeah. So he twats her over head, bashes her brains in, and then it's bath time for them both.
Oh, scented candles out.
So, yeah, well, I don't know about you guys, but I didn't get a lot of detail other than he dissolved them in the acid.
Yeah, I think he goes through the same process.
Oh, no, there is one.
Puts his attire on.
Afterwards, he claims that he drank some of
them. Oh, yeah. Back to the old blood drinking.
He actually did that before he dissolved them in the bath as well, apparently. Yeah. You know, this old
got a bit of blood drinking in and then melted them.
Bollocks.
Yeah, well.
But then he went through the same process, then he popped his rubber mac on and
his big rubber gloves. Big butcher's apron.
Stirrup pump made an
appearance. Pump, yeah.
His pump.
Wonder what the fuck his neighbours thought
of
it. I know. I'd be highly alarmed if all I could hear were like
all that bubbling and pumping.
To be fair, he was just ahead of his time in health and safety, wasn't he? I mean, the only thing he was missing is an hard hat.
I'll tell you what, you've got to give him to me. He did right. He did well with his PPE.
Yeah, indeed. He had all the right gear. Get the health and safety executive down to do a risk assessment.
He did a method statement prior, you know. He would have had his soft non-working hands once he had very moisturised.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be messing that up by scalding your skin, do you? Soft to the touch and all that. So that was he's plumbering up. What do you do now? You've got he did the same process. Went back the day after the bodies had dissolved, tipped and down drain. So they seeped into the Thames, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Just got washed away with all the shit and piss and. It's not exactly.
So what? But what do you do now? What do you do? You've got rid of all the errs to the cash.
Well, now you've got to put your conning skills in overdrive.
He loves a good con.
You've got to convince all the people who are associated with him that.
You see, I don't get this because then he went and told the housekeeper that he'd emigrated to America. And housekeeper were obviously like, all right, okay, then I'll get a new job then. Funny they didn't mention it, like.
No, but because she'd...
And knickers are still in draw.
Because it was like upstairs, downstairs, she'd have just gone, yes sir. Sir. Don't know where she's from. But, you know, they just no questions were asked. They were rich, they've gone to America. Well, fair enough, they've gone to America.
You think, like, they'd have had friends and stuff that would be asking questions.
Yeah, that'd be really alarmed.
Like, what's going on? But no.
No.
Evidently
it's
not.
It's like, I think the attitude, though, then were like, mate, do amend. So, like, if one of your really close best friends immigrated to America, you'd be like, all right.
I suppose there's no contact then either,
no.
Is there?
No.
There's no phone.
No text. No,
everything's...
Outward flight.
Everything's heavily censored in it as well because of the war.
Yeah, true.
So, what do you believe?
They could have been secret agents going to America. It could have been anything.
Yeah.
Well, we were a cracking flight. We got 3 movies. They give us some of them sleep socks.
Oh, it does my head in that. Just in the taxi. Just on the plane. Just taking off. Just landed. Just in the taxi.
Just having a Burger King in a pint.
Just fuck off. Texting me. You've gone off on your holidays. Be on your fucking holidays. I don't care. What stage you're at on your fucking holiday?
No one gives a shit.
I'm going to leave it now. It's £2 a text. Fucking good. So he managed to convince everybody that they'd left to emigrate to America without telling anybody. Miserable bastards.
Yeah.
No leaving party.
He
then managed to... Well, as we discussed before in last week, he was a master forger as well. When he good at his old copying.
Yeah. Well, what he starts to do now is with the rest of the world still think that young William's alive, so he begins forging William's
of course,
signatures and taking the power of attorney on all the property and
basically just signing everything over to himself.
He had all the mail forwarded to him as well.
Yeah.
That's another thing. landlady. I wouldn't understand why. Excuse me, landlady. I'm going to get all their posts directed to me and they've gone to America. Sorry about that.
And Williams asked me to sell all the houses.
Yeah.
And I'm keeping the money.
Yeah. He's in Scotland, by the way.
Yeah. He's really... in Scotland and they're in America and I'm in charge now.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pulled it off. Gullible store, you know. A long shot, but he pulled it off. I think he, from selling the, he gained £6,000 by selling all those
things. That's a hell of a lot, isn't it, back then as well?
Equivalent to these days, 150 grand.
It's done all right.
Yeah, I did some mathematics on it, I got about that.
Well, yeah.
All right.
It was a ballpark figure.
Calm down, yeah. Inspector.
Anyone who's seen my mathematics will know that it's, yeah. Just the best guess. So he spent 3 years.
He made it last 3 years.
Large in it.
He's 150 grand. Moved into an hotel full time. You've got to be like, yeah. You've got to have some serious cash for living in a hotel, boy.
Well, I mean, it's a bit fucking excessive, isn't it? You know.
He's like, well, you can imagine he's wanted this. He's wanted this lifestyle.
I know, but bloody and hell, look at his childhood. Have you 10-foot garden wall to that? Yeah.
That's right. He's gone from one extreme to another.
I've been in a few hotels.
It weren't a Premier Inn.
They're not that good to live in. They don't even have bloody doors or wardrobes anymore. It's just a hanging rail.
I think he had more than a trouser press.
Oh, I was going to say, how does he iron his shirt? He had a Corby trouser press.
Lenny Henry sat at bar.
Only thing. I can't speak. The only thing that a trouser press is good for is making toasted sandwiches.
Tea and coffee making facilities. Yeah, yeah. No, it was like proper high-class hotels. Yeah. Butler service. He bought himself a like top-of-the-range... what was it? An Avis car, was it?
Yeah.
An Alvis. Which is like...
A bit like a Jaguar, old British mate.
But like the top dog... Top bollocks car at the time.
Mm.
So he's doing all right.
He does well, and he does thing, he does. He continues swindling on the side.
Yeah,
as
he sets up a few fake businesses, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He sets up a fake business. He's obviously, so as the money's running out, I think in the last year, he sets up a fake business and rents another workshop. So he's already. As the money's starting to run out, is that right?
Oh, I'll have to do it again.
I'll have to do it again now.
Yeah.
Start it and start prowling the hotel, searching for
cunning
more victims. Yeah.
But during this time, I mean, when he gets arrested, he claimed that he killed up to like 15 people, which is a bit of a bogus claim.
Mm. I think that's a bit of an oversight, isn't it?
But then there's a possibility that he could have killed. Because he gets pinned, he gets done for six people, but he claims there was 9 up to 15. And just around this time, he claims this, he kills someone called Max from Kensington.
Oh yeah, Max.
Oh yeah, we go way back.
But I don't have any details on it. And he also, before now, he claimed he killed a middle-aged woman from Hammersmith. So, I mean...
I blame the menopause.
What, for him killing her?
You were probably right, moody bitch.
I'm going to kill you because you've started growing an hairy chin.
Like Rose's Tash.
I thought you meant your Rose.
Have you ever seen it? Has anyone ever seen the story about...
Oh, Rose West.
She's grown
full
a tash.
Beard.
Apparently she just sits in the corner and grunts.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
She's just missing all that big black cock, isn't she? It's the only thing that got her to smile. All that West Indian penis.
So his money's running out.
Yeah.
Shit. What am I going to do now?
What to do next?
Start again. Get barrels in, son.
Yeah.
He sets up a business. I'm not too sure what his business is, but what the cover story is. But
it's an engineering business.
Yeah, so he can buy sulfuric acid in bulk again.
And he rents out a workshop. I think it's in Crawley.
Yeah.
And in preparation, he orders 2 40-gallon drums and what's a carboy?
I was just wondering what
a carboy.
Yeah. A carboy of sulfuric acid.
Oh, it's...
Is it just like an amount
of... A big vat.
It's yeah. A big load.
It'll hold a whole
a big
lot
bucket
of
sulfuric acid.
I think I looked this up when we recorded the other episode. I knew the answer, and in between the 2 weeks or whatever, my brain's forgotten.
All that gin.
The gin's done me in.
So, in the hotel, he meets Dr. Archibald Henderson and his wife, Rose.
Dr. Archibald, 52, and his wife, Rose, 41, were selling their home.
He's done well for himself.
Well, he's a doctor, isn't he?
Ah, oh, that's what
there
it is.
There you go.
Plenty cash. And his wife is 11 years his junior. So either got plenty cash or a big cock.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, he's a doctor. Yeah.
Oh, both.
Well, he's a doctor. He'll know his way around a woman's body. So using his charm, as usual, he built up a bit of a relationship with Mr. Henderson and his wife, Rose. As well as him being a doctor, these are the people that he attaches himself to. They've got property interests.
Got a lot of money.
A number of flats and shops. And that's how he schmoozes up to him, isn't it? Bullshitting him probably that he's got interests. And then I think he says he's got a few business deals going.
A shared passion for music as well.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's so cultured.
Bit of bump and grind.
To be fair, I mean, there's not a lot of music to share a passion in back in the 1940s, isn't it? You either liked, it's not like these days where you could have
bebop,
rock and ska and heavy metal.
Barbershop
show me age now, aren't I? I can't think of any other types of music. Hard rock or soft rock?
Pop music.
The only album, Paul, is the Eddie Stobart.
Is that not true?
Yeah, Trucking with Eddie Stobart. Oh. We got an album, Soft Rock with Eddie Stobart.
Yeah, it's a cracker.
I want to know what love is.
Dad Rock.
Dad Rock. Dad Rock's Tandy.
What's wrong with that? Is that not a type of music?
Not so, a
watch. Yeah, before he invites the Hendersons to his workshop, he manages to nick Mr. Henderson's gun, which was a bit...
He's a canny lad.
It's a bit lackadaisical.
It's a gun.
It's just a gun that shoots
and it shoots bullets. I think it was a .35 revolver. I have no idea what that means. What does .35 mean? Is that the calibre?
Yeah, I would say that's its pet
size of the bullet.
I think it might be the size of the bullet.
American listeners,
yeah.
You know about guns. Let us know.
We don't have many guns in this country. Although you can get them off them 3D printers now, can't you?
Oh, yeah. So the Daily Mail says.
Yeah.
Oh, the Daily Mail talks completely bollocks.
Panic on the streets of London.
A carboy, or demijohn, is a rigid container with a typical capacity of 60 litres.
Oh, that was well remembered.
Or as small as 20 litres.
A demijohn.
I remembered that. Just popped back into my head, so I just thought I'd share it. Because that's probably the one fact that we've got right so far.
So he, he nicks his gun and then says, "Hey, I've got a bit of a few business interests you might be interested in." Mm-hmm. And again, he manages to separate them, and he says, "I'll take you to my workshop. We can go over the plans." But I don't know how he manages to convince them both to come separately.
Maybe because he's got a sports car, he says, "Oh, it's only really a 2-seater."
Oh no, I've seen it. It's a big unit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, all back seats on it.
Oh, right.
Right, yeah. I think it was on the pretext that he were going to show him an invention.
Oh, was it now?
Yeah, according to.
He can't show his invention to the wife because she's thingy. Yeah, she's like, women are still second class citizens, aren't they?
Right.
I don't understand.
I'm sorry, dear, you wouldn't understand such a machine. It's very modern, you know.
Yeah, because, like, according to this, it says that He left, like, after he did the deed and he shot Dr. Henderson in the back of the head with his revolver, he went and got Mrs. Henderson, and with much reluctance, she came to the storeroom as well. Mm-hmm. So did he
tell her that he was ill or something?
I think it was something like that, yeah, that rings a bell. But, like, she was obviously reluctant, and he said, Luke, you've got to come back. Like, I don't...
So when he got Henderson into the workshop, he's got this revolver ready, hasn't he?
Yeah, so he gets turns him in his there, back and he just gets him...
Bang, straight in the back of the head. You can never look at him when he kills him, can he? He always goes from behind.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
again, he's
what
you.
She said.
He's a killer motivated by money. He's not motivated for any
lust of the kill.
The gratification, you know, from the victim, that's not there. He just wants them dead and gone as quick as possible.
I think because his childhood was just such a stark contrast to reality. Like, in this, like, confined space. I think he's just grown up like that. He's not got a concept of reality. Like, he doesn't have feelings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that is his reality, killing people.
Not in touch.
Getting money for it.
Surely someone must have heard a bang, though.
Well, no, I think it was tucked away with it down a bit of a dirt track.
Oh, okay.
So, that's probably why he chose it. It had a bit of a yard outside. It looked a bit dingy. I don't know if you've seen pictures of it. But then he persuades, like you said, brings Rose down, Rose Henderson. And again, did she see the body of her husband as she walked in? Who knows? And bang, bullet number two.
You think he would have tried to slip him one before he melted him?
He's not into that, though.
Well, it's a good opportunity, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think he does sex.
No, he
doesn't.
Such
a rigid lip.
Not even with his wife.
Such a rigid religious guy, our upbringing, sex ain't on his menu.
See, like, if you're going to shoot someone and kill them dead, then you might as well make the most of a bad situation.
A pie's a pie when you're hungry.
Well, exactly.
Every goal's a goal. Every goal's a winner. They're still warm.
No one's going to, you know, no one's going to tell on you, are they?
He melted
them.
But then he went through the same process Obviously, he chucked the bodies in the barrels with the acid, puts his gear on. But he went to the hotel room. I like this. He went to the hotel room. He took the clothes. Give his wife some of the clothes. Waste not want.
Oh, yeah, he gives Babs Mrs. Henderson's leftover clothes, doesn't he?
Well, from a lady who was living in a halfway house for prisoners, I mean, she's going to be made up
there.
She's
having it. Mouth, wasn't she, poor bitch?
Well, then he told everybody that he's gone for a change of continent this time. The Hendersons have emigrated to South Africa.
Oh, right.
South Africa.
Land of opportunity.
Yeah.
I think he claimed that he drank the blood from both of them as well.
Yeah.
That came out as well.
Whatever.
He paid the hotel bill.
That's the bit that I like. That at least they didn't leave with a bad name.
Well, because that whole thing, you know, if he'd have left it, then
there might have been some investigation.
Might have got hold of the police and said they've not paid. We're worried about them or we want our money or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's those little things. That are important, and it's like when you look
at
serial
killers. You can't knock his planning.
Well, more serial killers start falling apart because after the first few murders, their attention to detail goes.
When it's just lust to kill.
Murdering becomes easy, doesn't it? After you've done it once or twice or three or four times.
The first one's always well planned, but then you get a bit lackadaisical.
Yeah, it's like you go to murder them and you turn around and like the wrench that you're going to hit them with is not there and stuff like that.
Oh, fuck it.
You know, it's like, it'll be all right. It's like when you start a new job, you go in on your first day, you're all nervous, you've got your best clothes on, and you're all like, oh, we get there a bit early, and
2 weeks later,
fuck it.
Stubble. Stubble and no tie on.
Yeah, turn up late.
10 minutes late.
Some good excuse about a traffic jam.
My alarm didn't go off.
So what were telling me over there, that the... We were telling me that when they were at school, the dog actually did eat their homework. Talking about excuses.
I had a friend once that actually said the dog shit on them. That's no word of a lie.
And that's not too hard to fake, is it? Because you just get your own and splat it in a turd.
I know.
My dog took a shit on me all.
Yeah, I brought it.
Writing's all smudge, miss.
Get out of here, dirty little shit.
It worked, it worked. So, yeah, in the barrels. He goes and have a, does a bit of forgery again. This time he gets £8,000. Hey, big spender! Equivalent of 200,000 this time. So he's got an extra 50 grand on top of what he had last time. But despite having an extra £50,000, this only lasted 3 years again. So he's living faster, he's living harder, he's living life in the fast lane. Well, we carry on living in...
He's a big gambler, isn't he? I think that's... He's got a bit of a gambling problem.
Before he was living life in the buzz lane. And now...
Now he's well and truly...
He's moved up. He's in the fast lane.
He's in the Ferrari.
Fast cars, champagne, gambling, expensive hotels, Volavons. Real butter. Volavons, and it's not even a special occasion.
Volavons.
There's not a buffet in sight.
Most pointless things I've ever eaten are fucking Volavons. They're just shit. Give me a bloody pie any day.
No, not patch on the quiche.
Bloody Volavons, although they are very fancy.
It's on Onslow Court, the hotel that he's living in, isn't it? Yeah. Which it just makes me think of...
Onslow.
Yeah, Mrs. Bouquet.
Yeah. Called,
what were it called, that programme?
Hyacinth Bouquet.
What was the programme called?
Keeping up appearances,
yeah. Oh, Onslow. Oh. Yeah, right there, mate. So, what, 3 years? What, cash has gone again? The barrel is dry.
Literally, I'm metaphorically.
Literally.
I think it's important to note, actually, during this period, Rose Henderson's brother, Berlin, with a U.
Oh?
He's called Berlin?
Berlin, yeah.
During the war years as well.
Berlin. Proper Darwin accent, Berlin. He would prepare to go to the police because he thought, well, bloody hell, me.
Bloody South Africa?
Where's my sister?
I mean, she didn't even left me a letter.
I know. So, but then he managed to convince him that the couple had emigrated to South Africa on the grounds that Dr. Henderson had carried out an illegal abortion.
Oh.
He's getting nasty.
Old court anger job.
Oh, he's a cold-hearted bastard, isn't he?
Hey, do you know what we've forgotten, though?
What? What did we forget?
Well...
He's not going to put his foot in it, has he?
Well, so to speak. When he dissolved him, he didn't quite. You know, because he's gone from using like a big tall oil drum, now he's using a bath.
Yeah.
But what you have to remember is most people don't fit in a bath, do you?
Right, yeah.
You know.
You've always got your...
Might be a bit of you sticking out. And it turns out that Mr. Henderson's foot
didn't
was sticking
fully
out. Then he didn't fully dissolve. So... Feeling a bit like he was untouchable at this point now.
He just
dumped all the remains, including the foot.
He just got the foot.
Yeah, because that was a problem.
Fucking lobbed it into builder's yard.
Because that was a problem that he had, wasn't it? Before, at the old premises, he had a drain.
Yeah.
But the problem was here, that he didn't have a drain.
That was the one oversight he made. There was no drain to take it into the sewers.
So he just... Tipped it out on yard, didn't
he? Tipped it out on some old
into
rubble.
A corner.
And then he got the foot and just lobbed it in a corner.
He used it as a boomerang.
A cat eat it or something,
And it came back to bite him. To bite him.
Very good, Christopher. Very good.
So he's got his money. He's blown the money again. 3 years back to bloody pennies and paupering after his champagne lifestyle.
He does, he blows it all, and he's just, I don't know, he must be having a fucking whale of a time.
He must, to blow
he
200
must be a
grand
really shit gambler.
Years. Yeah, but now he's, again, he's blown the money, so it's, we need a new...
Well, he's looking round for some, who can be the next victim, and one plan, which he had, which didn't come to fruition, was he was looking through... obituaries in newspapers to see if there was anyone who he knew, and he came across an obituary of one of, well, I don't know if it was a friend, but someone who he knew had died, and he got in touch with the mother to start you know, setting up the con, but then the mother died as well.
Oh, unexpectedly. Bloody hell.
Lost out on that one.
So it foiled his plan, but, you know, he's a bastard for it. He loves it.
One-on-one with a keeper, he pulled up with an hamstring.
But the good thing about living in a big fancy hotel...
It's full of big fancy people.
Full of big fancy people who also live in... There's quite a lot of people living in hotels. I mean, maybe their houses got blown up in Blitz or something. But I mean, your country pile doesn't usually get blown up. I think it's surprising.
Still now, there's a, like, filthy, stinky rich. You know, why live in a house when you can live in a hotel?
There were
a programme on that long ago, like, I can't remember the name. Was it Claridge's?
Oh, yeah.
Like the hotel in London, and there were these people. There was an American couple who have the penthouse suite there, and it's like they have it redecorated for when they arrive. Like, they were like, I think he was like an oil baron or something. Yeah. Oh, he was from Texas. And, like, they'd have it redecorated for their arrival, and then they'd stay in London over Christmas or whatever.
Get me some new wallpaper! Yeah.
You better have that all that shit redecorated for my arrival.
I want it full of nodding donkeys.
And the new at Stanford Stetsons.
Yeah, well, if he's an oil baron, that's all he is, isn't he? Big hat, 10-gallon hat.
JR.
Nodding donkeys everywhere, so he feels like home.
So, he's moving on now to his next victim, who is...
Olive Duran Deacon, 69.
Double barrel.
Oh, so yeah. Obviously got more money.
She's a widow and a fellow resident at Onslow Court.
Yeah. She's been living there for 8 fucking years.
You know.
8 years. She must have some coin.
She must be.
Oh, she's broke because she spent it all on fucking hotel bills.
Unless they're waiting for a pay on her way out.
Yeah.
She's just running a bill up.
Yeah. I'll settle up when I leave.
But that mini part, man, sucked some stick. She's a regular there. She's known to all the staff. She's been there for eight years.
She's very well liked. Yeah,
and he gets chatting to her. And she's, it's on the 14th of February. Love is in the air. That he gets chatting with her in the dining hall. And she tells him about his false fingernail idea. Mm. So obviously false, you know... If it hadn't been for old Mr. A, then she could have been at the forefront of the false fingernail.
She could have been a fingernail baroness. Yeah, that's how you're saying.
She could have stayed another 8 years in Onslow Court, couldn't she?
But he tells her that you know, he's in the business of moulding and whatnot.
And engineering.
And, yeah, and he can produce these fingernails that she's thinking about, and you know. Produce them and make them marketable, and they can set up in business together. He's obviously seen that she's with a bob or two.
Yeah.
Persian lamb coat.
And poor old Olive becomes
next number six.
So yeah, he's coaxed Olive back to his workshop, thinking, right, I'll show you this idea I've got around artificial fingernails. Come and look at my downstairs basement.
Yeah,
that smells slightly of flesh.
He gets her in his Elvis again, whatever it's called, his fancy car, and but you can imagine though, because when he pulled up at his workshop, brackets, that she was expecting the way that he talked and
something
everything
grand,
yeah, and it was like a dingy old like you said, a builder's yard in a back street in Crawley.
He's a fucking shack. It's not a workshop.
Because she'd have pulled up in all the finery, you know, pearls. Yeah.
Would have looked well out of place, wouldn't have been his nervous thought. God, he's pulled here, hasn't he? He's on to a winner. Although she was
quite
old.
69, yeah, she was a bit an old bag.
I don't know, she'll have a bang on sure.
So he gets her in there, and again?
Shoots her in the head.
Back at third, bullet to the brain.
His tactics have changed, haven't they? It's gone from battering people with heavy implements to...
Yeah, too much
mess, isn't it? He's had more evidence there. He's gone up in the world, though.
You know what I'd have done to a woman of her age? Shoved her over, broken hip.
one sharp push.
Yeah, fucking hell, broken hip, you're gone. Game over.
You ain't getting up from that in a hurry. And he wouldn't have wanted to go on her afterwards, really.
I don't know. I've seen some old lady porn.
Have you?
All that loose skin.
Gilfs. Right. But like proper grannies. fucking most, well, this is... most grannies are in the 40s these days.
But he, well, this is the one where he slips up, isn't it? Because apparently he puts a body in the drum and then goes up the road. Has, is it an egg? He has egg and chips, I think, at the local cafe.
Oh, nice.
And the local proprietor of the cafe says he, just like any other day when he bobbed in, no change in his character.
Yeah.
Right, John, how are we doing? Egg and chips, egg and chips. And, you know, he'd have never known that he'd just clobbered an old bat and stuck her in a barrel.
Possibly drank her blood.
Possibly. Yeah. Probably not.
You wouldn't need egg and chips if you'd just been drinking blood. It's well,
yeah, that's
it.
That's very true.
That's where his vampire plan has failed.
Yeah. Yeah, there's holes all over his neck.
But he goes to pawn a jewellery. So, you know, he's going to get the cash off her. But
and
he goes
he'll
to pawn
get receipts
a
from that, won't he?
No, well, he gets a receipt. He also puts a takes a jacket to dry cleaners. And it's a high, you know... A fine fur coat.
There's not many people wandering about in them.
So he gets the he gets a receipt for his for getting it dry cleaned, and that eventually would be his downfall.
Well, it's because he's leaving a trail, isn't he? He's leaving a trail.
Well, exactly. Back
it's
to him.
He's just. It's like he's omnipotent. He's the all important. Like there's a mass. He just doesn't see anyone finding him out because of this corpus delicti theory.
He thinks he's untouchable.
He's not burned his receipts, has he? So
Mr. Melty. That's what I'm going to read. Yeah.
Mr. Melty. He should have had a shredder. That's what he should have had. He could have got rid of them receipts.
Yeah.
But no.
But I think the other problem is with Olive, lovely old Olive, she had, because she'd been living in this hotel for 8 years and she's, you know, people are going to notice she's disappeared. Yeah. And the day after, straight away, people are saying, oh, where's Olive? She's not down for him. Yeah. For a cranberry juice and
a grapefruit.
Yeah.
Prunes for
prunes.
Prunes. She'll need them prunes.
Prunes to keep her regular.
Well, they'd be all loose at that age.
No, old ladies get bunged up,
do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course they do.
That's why they have to prunes.
They have to put suppositories up their arse.
Oh, God, that.
Believe me, I know.
All new meaning to pill popping.
Oh dear. All this murder and that doesn't turn my stomach. The thought of an old lady's bum with a tablet shoved up it. Oh, I'm done. I can't take any more.
Winking at you.
Nasty.
One up the bum, no, I'm done. So, there's one of Olive's good friends at the hotel. I love this name. What is it? Constance Lane?
Constance Lane.
She's straight on it. Like, where's Olive? Where's Olive? Mm. We're supposed to have a chat this morning.
Supposed to go chemistry and suppositories. She's gutted.
She borrowed my diaphragm last week.
Oh. Could you not have said Zimmer frame?
So, old Constance... Who probably wasn't very
good. Who? Consonants? No, I'm counting.
I was just about to say, Constance wasn't very...
Constant? Was very constant.
Well, then builds up a bomb. But I can't get my words out. Yeah, she was Olive's good friend.
She was.
And
she was very concerned.
She was concerned about our Olive.
She was.
Where's our Olive?
She reports her missing.
Yeah, but John is very showing concern as well to Olive. You know, he wants to put the facade on that, you know, and he claims that they were supposed to meet for the business meeting, you know, covering his back, because she probably had mentioned it to other people.
Yeah.
But he said that she never turned up. The police then want to know about this business meeting, and immediately, despite John being very confident and, you know, brushing it off, this business meeting that she never turned up to, they became suspicious of him immediately.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I think, and as well at this time, Rose Henderson's brother has gone back to the police, and he's
saying,
I need to find her because there's been a
death in the family. Yeah.
And so this is creating more problems for John.
Yeah.
Because the police know that he is one of the last people
to have seen him.
To have seen him before they've gone missing.
Now this old deer's gone bump and...
Yeah, so the net's closing in on him.
But because of this suspicion, now they look into John's past. And he's then all of a sudden comes to life.
He's checkered, isn't he?
Well, he's got this checkered past, yes. Yeah. Well, you know, he's this honourable businessman that everybody thinks he is. Very wealthy, nice car, living in the hotel, Volavons, as we discussed. And now they look into his past and, oh, no, he's done a bit of bird. He's done a bit of bird as our John.
Yeah, he's a bad man.
He's a fraud. The fraud comes to light. They realise his businesses are fake. So straight on it, get down to the workshop.
Yeah.
He's got this property down in Crawley.
I don't know where Crawley is. That accent gave me no fucking idea as to
just
where.
Just outside London, eh?
Crawley is. I think so.
Peaches and pears. Peaches and pears.
West Sussex.
Again, I'm lost. But they go and they raid him, don't they?
But the net closes in very quickly on John. Well, it was the Friday that he kills her. Yeah. Saturday they start
thinking,
hold on, who's this John fella? Let's check his past. Oh, hey up, bit checkered. Monday they go to the local jewellers, find out that the jewellery has been valued.
Yeah.
By the Thursday, they get another statement from Mr. Hare, and that's when they decide they're going to pay his premises a visit, kick the door in. See all his cooking equipment, all his gear set up. Bloody hell, what's going on here? What's going on? Briefcase.
Got papers in.
Papers from the previous murders.
Yeah.
For the property. Also, his wallet's there, which they find a receipt for.
A Persian lamb coat.
I wonder who that belongs to.
I wonder.
Persian lamb? Is that like lamb, like Lancashire lamb, like London lamb hot pot?
I really don't think so.
I thought you were like a Persian cat that were fancy, not a Persian lamb.
Yeah, do you know? I've never heard of a Persian lamb. You can't get that on Bouton Market, can you?
It's been bothering me
a bit of that pudding.
Persian lamb. Persian lamb. Fur coats are made out of fancy things, not Persian lambs.
Like foxes.
Yeah, fur, you'd think is dead soft. You think a lamb's wool. You think of like... Can't describe it, like not
a bit more knotty, innit?
Yeah, like not smooth,
not
bit
glamorous,
like a bit like an afro, a tight knit afro.
Yeah, but she was really old, weren't she? So she needed the bird.
Yeah, can't go wrong with an extra layer.
She's built for comfort, not for speed. This bird, or before she melted.
Yeah, and so they get all this evidence,
and on the Monday, they get him in.
Yeah,
they've got him in, they got him sat down. What the fucking hell's going on here, John? What's going on? Hey, where have all these people disappeared to? Hey, I'm Bangkok.
I do wonder why he didn't run off. You know, like when
one
he
of
knew.
His imaginary cats.
No, do you know what? He's that.
Do you think he's that confident he's that he'll get confident. Away with it?
Well, he's got his...
corpus delicti.
Corpus, yeah. So even if they catch him, no bad, no crime.
Yeah.
No, I just thought he might have tried to do a bump, but he doesn't.
No, they push him.
On the chin.
And push him, and then he... I don't think, and I was going to say that he cracks, but I don't think he does crack.
No.
It's that, again, he's confident that even if he admits it, he's going to get away with it because he stupidly misread his...
And there's nobody, so he thinks, oh, it's
nobody, no crack.
And the other thing is, now, when he's been arrested and he's being questioned by the detective inspector, and he asks the detective, he starts asking him about Broadmoor, saying... You know, if I get taken to Broadmoor, what are the chances of being released?
Yeah.
And the DI says, oh, well, we can't discuss that sort of thing. You know, you're in for questioning about these murders. I can't discuss that with you. And Hare replies, well, if I told you the truth, you wouldn't believe me anyway. It sounds that fantastic.
Fantastic. That's like an interesting word to use,
definitely.
That, isn't it? Fantastic.
I know. So you'd be feeling that optimistic, would you, if you'd just been found out for suspected murder?
So it's almost like he's probing, well, you know, this corpus delicti might let me down, so if it does, I'm going to go for the nut house instead You know, instead of getting, well, hung.
But it also turned out that he'd befriended a doctor at the time as well.
From a mental asylum?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so like he's already got up tips and tricks, hasn't he, like, yeah, to get up?
Picking the brain, yeah, or how can I, picking up the traits of people that have been found insane and what the, you know, the behaviour and what they're doing. He's got, you see, he's got a backup plan, hasn't he? He's got
a schemer.
Which is what all this drinking blood's about.
Yeah.
You know.
I think he's known that from the outset and he's thought, right.
He thinks he's too clever for his own good, this man. Yeah. Well, not. He thinks he's...
Yeah, not towards the end. Maybe for a while, but not now.
Mm.
Yeah, so after his arrest, he's held in custody and then he's charged with murder.
Murder.
Bum, bum, bum. On his admission, he says, I've destroyed her with acid. You'll find the sludge and the remains at Leopold Road. Every trace has gone. How can you prove a murder if there's no body?
Wrong answer.
Survey says no, John. Survey says no.
Yeah. So they build a body of evidence with which to convict him, but Hare pleads insanity.
Yeah. Well, they find the sludge.
Yeah.
And what do they find amongst that sludge? He thinks he's destroyed everything.
It's a race to your notes. Go.
There are 7 items that they find amongst the sludge.
Quick. No. There's... £28 of human body fat.
That's correct, yes. Anything else, anyone?
3 faceted gallstones.
Yes. I was going to say that, but I couldn't pronounce
faceted. Mr. Henderson's...
3 gallstones they found. 3 gallstones.
Mr. Henderson's left foot, not quite eroded.
Yeah, not all of it. A couple of corns on there, apparently. I think it was the Veruca sock that preserved it.
The handle of a red plastic bag.
Not so exciting.
I know, because, I mean, what, red? It's not Tesco, it's not Sainsbury's.
No. Yeah, Sainsbury's are red. No, orange. Orange. Yeah, it was red.
It might have meant like an actual handbag. Plastic.
Yeah,
no, plastic. I was thinking maybe.
It might have been a cross-restaurant sign. I thought, I'll burn that so they don't...
It might have been a posh one, like Selfridges.
Come on, he's going to be a Waitrose, man.
Selfridges is yellow. A lipstick container.
Oh, that's nice. 18 fragments of human bone.
Upper and lower dentures intact.
Oh, pair of snappers.
Oof.
Couple of snappers, let him down. Yeah. And of course, they belong to our Olive.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Naturally.
So it's... no depository. It's over, really, aren't it? Because even his sulfuric acid...
Well, he's a cocky bastard, isn't he? He's a cocky bastard. He thought it were all gone, but no. Dentures, gallstones... That's a bit unlucky, isn't it? 3 gallstones. I imagine a couple of them might have been olives, I think.
From the older victims.
Well, you know, I don't like an olive with stones in them.
Oh, I walked straight into it. Very good, Christopher.
Do you know what I did the other day? This is no lie, this. You know, oh, God, it was horrible. You know... You know you have little tester pots at supermarket?
Oh, yeah, I know where you're going.
At deli counters.
I went over and they had olives and they had cheese. And I'm not keen on olives, but I had a bit of cheese. And then there were another little tub that looked like it had nuts in. So I got one of them and popped it in my mouth. And then I realised it was stones out of olives. And someone had popped out the
I've seen it myself.
Dirty
oh, fucking
dirty,
horrible.
Dirty
it were horrible.
Oh, that could have belonged to some ranch.
There were a lot of dobbers in there as well.
And I say, I bet there's loads of people that think, oh, freebies. Yeah, you don't have your tea now when you get on.
I'm straight over on freebies.
It's all trogs who get into freebies.
Especially when chicken nuggets are out. I'm all over that.
Oh, God. Oh, that would have made me want to puke. That's horrible.
The realisation after I put it in my mouth.
This nut's not breaking down easily.
Chewing on it. And then I took it out and there's like all bits of olive on it. And like tooth marks. So like, oh.
You dirty fuck.
Dirty dog. So anyway.
Yeah.
Olive's gallstones.
Yeah. And the dentures. These were an important find though. The team could now go to Mrs. Duran Deacon's dentist to see if they had a match.
Ah, of course they did.
And her gum shrinkage problems. Now, that is an ailment I've never heard of, but obviously it sent her to the dentist. Guess what a dentist would call?
Mr. Teeth.
Helen Mayo.
Grandmother of our own Simon
Helen
Mayo.
Helen Salad Cream.
A fellow radio broadcaster.
And she kept a cast of all of her patients' upper and lower jaw, so, you know, she knew.
Jobs,
yeah. I read a story once about somebody who invented, thought they'd come up with a great invention of putting magnets in the gum and then putting a metal liner inside dentures to keep them in, which is a great idea until you use a fork. Metal fork.
That would end badly.
Yeah, but through all this time, he's under constant questioning, John, and he's maintaining that he's a Fruit Loop.
Yeah, he's like really pushing the. He's saying, away with the furries.
Oh, I see trees that turn into crucifixes.
Yeah.
I see blood dripping from the branches, and it takes over me, and I just have this lust for blood, and I drink the blood.
Well, he's it's his backstop, isn't it?
Yeah.
To go for the.
He can fall back upon that, can't he? Doesn't quite work though, because these psychologists, they agree, don't they, that he was not insane.
Yeah,
well, and he'd been perfectly aware of his murderous actions.
And he claims as well that he's killed more people, but there's never any evidence and there's suggestions that he just made
that
up.
I wonder if that was like to cast this idea that he was a bit of a psycho.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've murdered all these people.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's people look into his upbringing and everything. There was a doctor, David Maxwell, who said on talking to him, you know, he was absolutely callous but cheerful and bland and almost friendly.
Quite blasé about it.
Yeah, and just freely admitting that he committed these crimes. And he said that was a completely unique experience that he'd had in all the criminals that he'd spoke to, murderers, rapists.
Yeah.
He'd never actually come across a character like John here, who was just so blasé about his crimes.
Yeah, he was detached, wasn't he, from reality?
Yeah, definitely.
It says here as well, like, he smoked, read a newspaper, fell asleep. This was when he got arrested. This is in the police station, so he just didn't give a damn, did he?
No.
He weren't asked.
So they drag him off to lose the sizes for his trial, but he's run out of money.
Uh-oh.
And he needs someone to defend him.
So what have you got to do?
Well, I don't think you get legal aid in them days.
No,
I think, you know, you're every man for himself. So what does he do?
Turns to Red Tops.
Yeah. Would you believe it? The news of the world.
News of the world comes to his aid. Dirty bastards.
They bankroll his lawyers for an exclusive story on the Acid
Some things murderer. Never change. Some things never change.
Yeah.
You're probably tapping his cell.
Yeah, so he gets the paper to pay for him, but his defence fails.
Yeah. There's also another... the Daily Mirror also got involved, didn't they? A bit of scandal, because I think it was the first case of not... of contempt of court, I think, within a paper publicising stuff that they shouldn't be, because I think they were really playing on this hair being a vampire, and they did the vampire hunt and all this stuff, and, you know, there was too much detail went into the publication that shouldn't have gone out before the court. But anyway, somebody got, I think, Sylvester Bolam, the editor, or the...
He got done with contempt
and ticked out, but yeah. But no, he went for the insanity, didn't get it, didn't get him off the hook, and the prosecution declared that he was fully in control of what he was doing and sentenced him to death.
Yeah, the jury found him guilty in minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
It was, you know, I mean, there was... very quick to come to the decision.
I think he really thought that he wouldn't get caught, didn't he? He really did think he would get caught, but
prisons. He did get caught.
Prisons full of people that thought they wouldn't get caught.
And he did. He was one of them.
Another one. But one last thing. He after sentenced to death by hanging at Broadmoor, wasn't it? Wandsworth Prison. He was asked if he had any final words, and rather disappointingly, he said nothing at all.
No.
But he didn't say nothing at all, he actually said nothing at all.
Before they hung him, he wrote his life story for the paper.
Yeah.
So that paid for his bill. And he didn't get to see his girlfriend, Barbara. He didn't get to see his mum or his dad. They weren't interested in him. But he wrote a letter to Barbara. And I've got a small extract from that letter.
Oh!
Exciting.
Which, this was... So Barbara had written to John while he was in prison.
Lonely hearts with Paul.
And this is... This is from John's reply letter. How foolish of you to ask why I hadn't murdered you. Not that foolish question, really, is it?
Seal with a kiss.
He says, of course I had a million opportunities, but the idea never even crossed my mind. I wouldn't have hurt a hair on your head. Oh, that's nice.
And you had another thing going for you, Deirdre, is you didn't have a pot to piss in. Babs. Do that, dear Deirdre.
Yeah.
Problem with Babs was she'd have a pot to piss in over there.
Deirdre's a pet name.
Yeah.
The reason he didn't murder her is because she was fucking skint. Let's be honest.
She was brassic.
So on a date that happened at some time in 1940...
The 6th of August.
Oh, I've got the 10th.
Oh.
1949.
Ooh. Discrepancies. The 10th of August, 1949. Here was hanged by Albert Pierrepoint.
Pierrepoint.
Yeah.
I think.
Pierrepoint.
Pierrepoint.
Perrier.
Dom Perrier.
Hung by the neck.
Until he's dead.
Oh, and he actually asked if he could have a trial run to make sure everything went smoothly. He did! Oh, God. Honestly, that's
it?
True!
That's what
he asked for a trial run.
Oh, fair enough.
It's likely his request went no further.
Well, he's a stickler for planning.
Yeah, well, there you go.
At least he was in the early days.
Yeah. But on one nice little touch, for John anyway, I suppose, that he to know that his memory would last on, is that Madame Tussauds extracted his face for a waxwork figure, which is, I don't know if it's still on display today in London, but the...
It's been there. I was there a long, long time.
Which is madness when you think about it, because can you imagine, like, I don't know, he was a recent... Like a recent killer, like Madame Tussauds knocking on door.
Going down to the prison after Fred West had hung himself and saying, well, we just want to cut a copy of this snaggletooth freak.
Yeah, but they could just get a Neanderthal man from Natural History Museum for Fred West.
The missing link.
But it's just madness that they're like, well,
what's even more vampire killer is that they bloody, when they made the wax work, it was dressed in his clothes.
His very own clothes. His own threads.
Very, very weird.
His own threads.
So there you have the story of John George Hay.
Well, that was good. I liked him. The acid bath killer. Well, I didn't like him.
He
was a little bit naughty. But it was a good story.
I don't know. I tend to like my serial killers that are
a bit more
doing it for the love of the job rather than doing it for the money.
You're all about authenticity, aren't you? Bloody sold out, John.
Yeah.
Sold out.
Just he's in it for the money. No, but yeah, very interesting story. So I don't know what will be next on the list.
No.
Maybe
we'll watch this space.
We'll
keep looking on the Facebook and the Twitter. As usual, if anybody wants to get in touch with us, you can on the Facebook and the Twitter, like I just said, and thepennymortos@gmail.com, drop us an email.
Very well remembered.
We've got loads of stickers, we've got some more. If anybody wants any, drop us your address and we'll send them to you. We're doing nice little packages. We put some little extra...
Are you talking about your widget again?
They're all sealed with a kiss and a hint of perfume.
Excellent.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are we done?
Lovely job.
That's it. We've been the Penny Mortos. It's been lovely spending this time with you.
Yes. Goodbye from me.
Good night.
And God bless.
Bye.
Stay well.
Bye.